Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cause. I've actually never said that before. I'm assuming you already know it. If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much. If you're a regular listener, as you know, I truly appreciate everyone who downloads, who subscribes, who tells a friend. That's how this podcast will grow, and I appreciate it. Today, it's a bit of a different podcast. It's not with a winemaker, not with someone who sells wine or works at a restaurant. It is a doctor. His name is Dr. David Meadows, and he's got a company called Pure Wine, Inc. And I want to say off the top, this is not an infomercial. Of course, when you start by saying it's not an infomercial, that's what gets everyone nervous. So let's dive in for a second before I talk about a really delicious North Island Gimlet Gravel, New Zealand, obviously, Cab Merlot blend that I'm drinking. And yes, I am sort of that loser that, you know, goes to an area and then falls in love with the wine. I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty. But I mean, I have the classics of all over France and Italy. But yeah, North Island, New Zealand, I am very good friends with it and will continue to be. Anyway, so a while ago, the people of this company, Pure Wine Inc., they reached out to me, which I was like, fantastic. I just, you know, how do they know about me? I have very low self-esteem, but don't worry, not in a bad way. I never assume that, you know, that tons of people are, you know, keeping me on the radar. That's, you know, the Livy Daltons and, you know, people like that. So anyway, they reached out and said, hey, would you like to talk about our product? And I'm like, well, send it to me and I'll check. And the product is, it's really simple. The idea is that David Meadows and his son wanted to try to find a wine, or a, not wine, try to find a product to help alleviate headaches, alleviate some of the effects that come from people who drink red wine, where, you know, skin rashes, things like that. And also dealing with wine headaches or hangovers. And obviously, I'm going to be skeptical. I'm skeptical of a lot of wine products. I think, you know, the, like I had the magnetic device that you put the bottle on and it helps to smooth it out. And yeah, I'm still not sure if that thing worked. I had it when I was starting to get into wine. And there's the different funnels and different aerators. And I think for the most part, a lot of them, they do work, but maybe like 2 or 3%. Which, by the way, if you can pour wine into an aerator and it makes a wine even 1% better, why not? And if there's some sort of, it kind of fools you and you believe it works better than it should, well, that's fine. If your brain believes it and your taste buds believe it, then, you know, what's truth and what's a lie? And I'm not going to go down that sort of road and that sort of philosophical discussion. But hey, if the placebo works, then viva la placebo. So what I did with this, and the company, there's two things. There's like a little wand where you put this little device, and it's a small one. It doesn't take much room in your wine glass, and you put it into your glass of wine, and you swirl it around. By the way, this will get described a lot better by the doctor than me. So there's that one, and then the other device is like a long funnel that you put into the wine, and, you know, it's got the little tube at the end, and you pour the wine goes through the device, and it, you know, sort of gets filtered through this device, so it goes from the bottle, and you shove it into the bottle, and you pour it into the glass. Now, here was my only criticism. This device, you know, you would put it on, there was a little suction, you know, off the top, and as I would, you know, tip the bottle over, and the wine is going through the little mini aerator at the end of the bottle, there would be a little bit of leak. And I told David about it, and I think, you know, they were going to be working on that. So that was my only criticism. But because I'm a hero, I decided I'm going to do a real experiment, because I wanted to see if using the Pure Wine company, using their device, would it help when... And not even really about a hangover, but you know, you get that fuzzy feeling when you just have that one glass too many, and you wake up the next day and you curse the heavens, your fist balled up and it's shaking at the clouds going, why did I do that? And I get that, and I hate it because I get fuzzy and my mind gets slow for a little while and you get a little bit lethargic. Everyone gets impacted by wine differently. That's just kind of how it impacts me. So I had about 26, 27 ounces of wine. Basically, I had about one bottle and a glass. And I used their product throughout. I'm like, okay. Because as I've said many times, I'm not going to recommend a wine I don't like. If I'm given a wine and I don't like it, you're never going to hear about it. But I'm not going to go on about that because I talk about that all the time. But I applied the same philosophy here. And I tried, I drank all the wine. I did have dinner with it. And I'm, you know, just sitting at home, me and my girlfriend. And the next day, there was no hangover. There was no fuzzy. There was nothing. I felt good. So I'm like, oh, okay. Hey, this product, it seemed to work. So I'm like, hey, that's great. So then I'm like, okay, I'll contact them. And, you know, I got in contact with Dr. David Meadows. And in the interview you're going to hear is me with him. And, you know, it's an interesting look at just people that suffer from side effects of drinking wine, but they really want to drink wine. And my God, I can empathize with that. I mean, that would, you know, for a lot of people listening, you know, if you're listening to this, you love wine. And the idea of having to give it up, that would be crazy. That would be, you know, unless for really important reasons, you don't want to. And it's not that you want to ever drink to get drunk. You want to drink because you enjoy wine. It goes well with food. It's a nice social thing. It's a fun thing. It's like, hey, I love this producer. What's this year going to do versus this year? And, oh, the, you know, the Cote de Rhone versus the Cote de Rhone Village versus, oh, I'm going to try a Vaccarat. And it's got the similar amount of Syrah and Grenache in it. And you just, you know, it's actually part science experiment and farming and agriculture and all that stuff. And it's one of the reasons why people love wine is the curiosity factor behind it. So I was like, okay, I'm down. So I talked to their people and I got in contact with Dr. David Meadows, who's a really great guy and a lot of energy and fun. And I like the product. The product worked for me. You know, I'm not going to tell you, hey, go out and buy it and it's going to cure all your allergies or you're never going to get a hangover. I imagine you could probably drink so much, even this wouldn't work. But it worked for me. Give it a shot. Don't give it a shot. Whatever you want. But have a listen to him. Again, the name of the company, Pure Wine Inc. And yeah, I appreciate them reaching out and I appreciate the fact that I wasn't fuzzy the next day. A quick shout out. I don't know if you can where you can find this outside of Ontario, but if you can ever find it from Hawke's Bay, it's called Vidal, V-I-D-A-L, or you know the grape that's used for a lot of ice wine here in Ontario. And this is a 2000. It's like their legacy series wine from Gimlet Gravel, so North Island, New Zealand, Hawke's Bay, all of that. It's a 80% Cabernet, 20% Merlot, 2013. I gave this about 90 minutes to decant. And this wine usually goes, I think, for around 60. The only reason I bought it, I was at the LCBO because I had to pick something else up. First time I've been in the LCBO since February. And by the way, that's wild. You know, everyone is in masks, which is good. Masks, the plexiglass, when you walk in, you got to take, you know, some hand sanitizer. They had it really well organized. So good for them. And I hope all the employees are comfortable working there. That'd be the worst if, you know, they were forced to go to work and they felt threatened. So I had to go in there to buy another wine for a different podcast. And I always look around different areas. And I just saw this wine. And I am a sucker for Bordeaux blends from Gimlet Gravels, especially when it was like $13.95 off. Or, you know, it was definitely like $12 to $14 off. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to give it a shot. I knew very little about it. It got great reviews from, you know, a variety of different publications, including Jancis Robinson from Decanter. And it is gorgeous. You know, the dried blackberries, dark plum, violet, you know, on the palate, you know, some earthy and meatiness, but a little bit of vanilla and cedar. But you still get a lot of that. Again, the plum, it really comes out. Sharp violet on the nose, angular dark fruit, the cassius, like just all the things that you would hint at markers for Bordeaux. I mean, you can kind of tell it's not Bordeaux. It's not as earthy. There's, you know, some things that just aren't there that would give away a Bordeaux. But this is a damn good wine. The freshness on it, the acidity, and this wine could still throw it away for 5 to 8 more years easy. So as I think I've said before, if you want to drink really good Bordeaux-styled wines, but you can't afford to spend $140, $180 a bottle, check out North Island, New Zealand. Check out Gimlet Gravels. So much good stuff there. This wine, I mean, $60, that's not cheap. That's, you know, that's a pricey wine. Only reason I got it again was it was a deal. So, but it's certainly something to always keep an eye on. Anyway, as I always say, enough yammering from me. Time now for some wine talk, wine science talk. It is Dr. David Meadows.
The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And for this one, it is a little bit different. We are going now to Dr. David Meadows, the founder with him and his son of the company Pure Wine. David, thank you so much for joining the pod. And my first question is, do I call you David? Do I call you doctor? This is my first interview with a doctor. What is the best approach?
Just call me David. That'll be fine. Pretty informal.
Perfect. Perfect. So I first want to hear, what is your medical background as someone, a neophyte like me, when it comes to the proper identifications?
So real quickly, I have a PhD in biomedical engineering. I've worked for the last 25 plus years in the medical device arena and also pharmaceutical industry. So to give you an idea, I'm kind of an inventor. I have over 100 patents to my name. And most recently, I was head of research and development for a large medical device and pharmaceutical company up till about 6 years ago when our company was bought out. And that gave me the freedom to go out and solve other big problems. And this was one that I was encountering because I wasn't able to drink wine for probably 5 years before that. I started getting really bad headaches and congestion, to where it just wasn't worth it. I gave up wine entirely. In fact, it got to a point to where I'd drink a half a glass of wine and I'd lose my voice for a couple hours. So that's where this whole thing got started.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go to. I mean, the product, the company Pure Wine, there's a, and we'll get into it, the wave and the wand. And so you said that about 10 years ago, you had to give it up entirely. I've never heard about that, about losing your voice. I mean, hangovers is one we all get or we can get, but yours seem to be, your side effects or results seem to be far worse.
Well, I didn't get the really bad migraines that a lot of people get from that. And so my medical background gave me a real good insight into what was going on. Because when I was seeing that, I always kind of believed what the myths, I call them the myths or folklore that was out there, that, oh, it's just the sulfites in wine that's causing the problem. But that's the path I went down for a couple of years when I was exploring the literature on that you read all these blogs and sort of lay community, and that's what they say. But then you just look at the composition of white wine versus red wine, and red wine has about 10% of the sulfites in it that white wine does. So in other words, white wine has a lot more sulfites in it. And I knew that wasn't the cause of it. And it was always the red wines that were giving me the problems for that. And so I just started using the scientific method. And lo and behold, looking in the wine literature, this has been known for a long time, that red wine is the real culprit for a lot of these side effects that people get.
Well, let's actually, first, before we get to the science, what was there one wine that you missed the most?
Oh, yeah. These heavy, really nice, elegant Cabernets, we'll say Bordeaux-styled wines, Tempranillos, Syrahs. I love a Syrah, but those are the Rhone-style wines. Those really, the old saying, kicked my butt. And so it seemed like the heavier the Mediterranean-styled grape was, that was the association that I had before I started digging into it, was that they were the ones who would react most quickly for me. And again, we'll come to this, is that that's really the medical background, is that it was a classic what we'll call histamine response. And that's kind of why I started scratching below it. And I said, okay, this is not the sulfites, and it's a classic histamine type response I was getting. So the rest is the story. And so I won't get ahead of ourselves, but that's kind of the wines that gave me the leading edge to understanding the problem.
Well, let's go there. Let's go to the breakthrough. You and your son, Derek, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that moment where you got into being able to get rid of these histamines and sulfites. Actually, before the breakthrough, explain to people that don't know just what are histamines and sulfites that are contained within wine.
Sure. That's fundamental for people to understand, is that the sulfites have been around in wine for over 2,000 years. The Romans were the first to really use that. They're great. They are important. To get a good quality wine, you need to have particularly a white wine. You need to have sulfites in there to keep down the oxidation, and it serves as a preservation agent in there. So I'm the last person to say that sulfites are bad, but what happens is that people develop intolerances to those. Just like you get them from nitrites in foods, you develop sensitivities to sulfites, particularly people who have sulfa drug allergies and several other kind of things. And that's kind of the medical side of it that I won't get into. But then the histamines are literally a part of the fermentation process of all fruit juices like grapes. So it forms from the protein coatings on the grape skins. When those proteins are digested by the yeast, they form these what are called biogenic amines. There's a broad category of about 12 of these that are formed in white and red wine, and they cause biological effects. There's histamine, putrescine, cadaverine, tyramine, and 8 others that are formed during the natural fermentation process of wine. And that problem's been around for 9,000 years, and it's going to be around for another 9,000 years because it's just part of the fermentation process, that as these amino acids in the proteins get digested by the yeast, they turn into these biogenic amines.
And what did that breakthrough look like when you and your son were able to find a way to get rid of most of that without changing the chemistry of the wine?
Yeah, that was really a fundamental thing. So what Derek, this was my son, I have 4 kids, and he just graduated from college. And like a lot of college kids, he was doing craft beer making on our kitchen table and on our stove. And what was funny with him is that he started developing an intolerance for these unfiltered craft beers he was making. So he was getting really tight necked and he'd have breathing problems. And so he, about the same time I was telling him about this wine, he said, "Dad, let's start a company to solve this problem." Cause he was having to give up. These were mostly the unfiltered IPAs and wheat beers that he was sensitive to. And I said, you know, it's the same kind of thing from my investigations. It's these proteins that are being digested into these amino acids in beers also. And that's a fairly common issue for IPAs, these heavy, unfiltered craft IPAs. So we just started, we rented a lab in a local university. We live in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so we rented a lab for a couple of years. And I'm actually an engineer by training and undergraduate, and then went into more the biomedical area. And so my engineering training gave me a good idea of how to come up with a product that would remove just the histamines and the sulfites. That's the most fundamental thing. We didn't want to destroy the wine, and that was very easy to do. We found very early on you could destroy wines very easily with activated charcoal and some of these other filter technologies, absorbent technologies we're using. So really that's our patents. We have over 10 patents now that have been granted on our technologies that are to the secret ingredients to what we've been able to do to remove selectively 95% of the histamines and sulfites without removing any of the resveratrol, the tannins. We don't remove any of the tannins. Tannins aren't what cause these problems. We don't remove any of the phenolics, the quercetin, any of those out of the wine. So you really keep the quality of the wine, but just remove the histamines and the sulfites.
So here was my use of your product, and you have two things, the wave and the wand. The wave is just, it's almost like a little paintbrush, and you swirl it into the glass to remove the histamines and the sulfites, correct?
Yes, exactly right. It's intended, that's our on-the-go product. So people love that. We've sold over 6 million of those in the last 3 years because people love it. Women love to put it in their purse. I carry it with me everywhere I go in my luggage or in because I can't drink wine without these. And so if I want to drink wine, I have to use this. And you swirl it in the glass for a couple of minutes and it immediately starts working and absorbs the histamine and the sulfites. You can either keep it in the glass, which is what I do, because it helps aerate the wine. And then, or some people just want to throw it away. So they just take it out of the wine and then start drinking the wine. So it's really how you'd like to use the product.
Well, I'll tell the listeners my experience with it because
I would not be doing this interview if I didn't think that, you know, that it could work. I use the wand, so we put it into the bottle of wine, and then, you know, we use that, put it into the bottle of wine, and then you pour it out, and it goes through to remove the histamines and the sulfites. And here was my process. Now, I wasn't going anywhere that night. I started with a couple glasses of white wine that I did not use your product, but I wanted to sort of, I wanted to try to simulate if I was going to, you know, have a lot to drink. Uh-huh. And then me and my girlfriend, we used the wand for a high alcohol New World Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. Had about 14.7% alcohol. And we went through that bottle. There was no issue at all with quality. I even poured a small glass of the wine before I used your product, tasted the two of them separately. Couldn't tell any difference in terms of the quality of the wine, the characteristics, the varietal notes were the same. And then the next day, I didn't feel anything, not even a little bit sluggish. Or I think for me, what I get is everything is a little bit slow and fuzzy. Yep. if I've had a little too much to drink. So for me, used your product, and it certainly did everything that you're saying.
Well, that's great to hear. And literally, we have thousands of testimonials. If people go to drinkpurewine.com, which is our website, you'll see a lot of the social. You can go to our Facebook, which is Pure Wine, or hashtag Drink Pure Wine. There's just, you'll see literally thousands of testimonials. And I don't try and trumpet that too much, because I think you don't want to oversell these kind of things, because people don't want to give a sense that it's over-delivers. But this really does work. And what we find is that people, particularly as we age, we get these age-onset allergies. That's basically what it is. Our bodies can't process the histamines that they used to when we were 20-year-olds. And so particularly women, what we're finding around middle age, this would be 35-ish on the way, it's a perimenopausal, postmenopausal issue for women. Their estrogen levels go down and they lose the ability to process a lot of these histamines. So they end up with these what are called autoimmune, or broad categories of autoimmune type symptoms. That could be Crohn's, it could be rheumatoid arthritis, it could be gout for men. And those are just classic aging phenomena. And if you can't remove these histamines out of your body, you end up being able to be less tolerant for a lot of foods, and also particularly alcoholic beverages that have a lot of histamine. So it's going to be those heavy reds, those ones that we really like. And it really doesn't matter too much on the type of quality because of the wine, because what it's just naturally, if you have a lot of the maceration of the grapes and you have a lot of the proteins from the, let's say, a Rhone style wine with a lot of Syrah in it, you're going to have a lot of these biogenic amines. The wine tastes great, but you end up feeling really crappy the next day. And you just, we find that, and I'll just sort of give another example, groups like the Cleveland Clinic are using this in all of their health and wellness clinics, because they give these out to their patients for free who are in health and wellness, to help women and men both be able to drink wine again, because it is a great socializer and it helps to calm people during these stressful times. So that's a great testimonial for us too, to have a terrific institution like the Cleveland Clinic use our product.
Yeah, I mean, that's my testimony is much smaller. I'd say 25 ounces of wines, or 25, 26, a little over a bottle of that. The high alcohol Pinot, I had, I'd say, about 14 to 15 ounces of that using the product. And, you know, I felt good the next day. I wanted definitely to try it out, because I always have skepticism when it comes to wine accessories. You know, you get the magnetic base where you put the bottle of wine, or some of these different aerators where they say, boom, it's like you've decanted the wine for 4 hours. And I'm always like, maybe there's a 1% improvement, but I find often in this world, there's over-promise, under-deliver when it comes to the wine accessory world.
Totally agree. And I call that the gadget world, Matt. And that was really being sort of my background, being a pretty conservative industry that I came out of. You just don't want to go there. You want people to really trust your product and be able to find. You'll always have people, the 5 percenters out there, but we wanted a product that 95% of the people would really say, man, this thing worked for me. And so that's really what we strive to. So we actually over-designed it a little bit because people ask, well, yeah, can you use it for only one glass? And, you know, for the when you're using, like you were saying, the little filter there. That's what we encourage people because we get a lot of people who get migraine headaches and really severe. Some people can't take two sips of a wine before it triggers a headache for these. And so we're working with some of the leading migraine headache organizations through our affiliate networks. And that's what you'll see on a lot of our blog and our testimonial things on our social is just the tremendous lifestyle changes and improvements for people who have these triggers from wine, because wine is the leading trigger for migraine headaches. And so you get these people who come in and say, oh my gosh, this has changed my life. And so those are the people that we were really catering the product to, because we wanted to over-design a product so it really would work for even the more severe situations that we encountered. For me, I consider myself more of a mild. It sounds like you're more of a mild sufferer. It's not debilitating. If you talk with some of these migraine people, they're down for 2 days before their life comes back. It's really a remarkable.
I'm the stereotype. I'm just and it's always the same thing. It's you never drink to get drunk. If you love wine, you just love the taste of it. And then you want to try a different bottle. And I wonder what it's going to be like with this cut of meat or after it's decanted for 3 hours. And then the next thing you know, you've overserved yourself. And at its worst, the next day, you know, you're a little hungover in the morning, fuzzy, everything is slow, and your thoughts take a beat longer before you can get going. I find that's me at the worst.
Well, and what I can give you a few more testimonials. One of our first investors was one of the leading neurosurgeons in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He had over $1 million of wine in his wine collection, and he was Asian. And he said, man, oh man, I'm going to invest in this because I can't drink my wines anymore, because Asians are particularly sensitive to this. Ancestrally, they never drank grape-derived wines. They're quote-unquote Asian wines are just a high alcohol content beer. They're made out of rice and a lot of stuff like that. So it's really a form of beer. So what he invested, because he would feel so bad the next day after drinking wine, some of it, and these were high valued wines. I mean, these are some very expensive wines, and he couldn't do surgery the next day because he felt so bad. He wasn't. And that's a big deal. That's his profession.
Yes.
He invested in it and is one of our leading investors. And we have several doctors. In fact, I think right now we have 7 or 8 investors who are doctors for that very reason, because they collected wines and eventually had to not stop drinking wine as a result of that.
What's the science behind that, about that people from an Asian background have a higher sensitivity towards wine? I've heard that in the past. I had a couple friends that would tell me that, but my background is not in math or science. Where does that come from?
And so it's actually in a lot of people groups who aren't used to drinking grape-derived wine. So it's going to be American Indians. It's going to be Northern Europeans, because they drink white wine and not red wine. They were heavy Mediterraneans. That's my background. I'm Northern European, a little bit of Scotch-Irish and Dutch and Norwegian. So that's what is the issue for me. Asians, they never drink any grape-derived wine. African-Americans as a group have a lot of issues with this. And it's because you don't have the enzyme systems. And so we're working with 23andMe and Ancestry.com to be able to find these SNPs that will give us ability to tell people whether they're at a high risk of having this problem, because before we get into too much of the science, there's actually one enzyme group. I'll give you the fancy name for it. It's diamine oxidase. Okay, fancy name for that's the enzyme system in your gut and in your liver that removes all the histamine out of your body. And if you, as an Asian, do not have a high level of these biogenic amine enzymes in your body, you're not going to be able to drink wine from grapes, because your body's never encountered these grape-derived wines, and it can't detox your body as efficiently as, let's say, a Mediterranean. If you talk with an Italian, that's what we find, the Southern Italians and the Spaniards, there aren't very many of them who have this kind of issue, because their ancestrally, their DNA, so to speak, allows them to detox. So you've got Mediterranean people who are probably the best at detoxing these heavy wines that we're producing now in the wine industry.
So being from Sicily, it's easier to drink Cabernet than say if you were from Holland.
Absolutely. And so that's what we find. So I always look when I'm talking with people, and I just saw when you and I talked before we got started, we had that video chat. You're a fair complected guy, just like I am. And so it's going to be blonde hair, blue eyed, red hair, green eyed kind of people, Northern Europeans. Man, you can almost, by the time they get to be 50 years of age, it's like 90% of them have issues with red wines, these heavy, what I'll say, Napa Valley Cabs or the Rhone-styled Syrahs, Tempranillos from Rioja. So those are the, and it's nothing wrong with that. It's not to be condemning at all. It's just part of the natural process. And people want to be able to continue drinking their wines, and we've enabled them to do that. And we had the science to stand behind it, because to develop this, we worked with the leading wine testing lab in Napa. I won't give the name over the phone, but you probably know who it is. It's the leading, it's one of the leading in the world, in fact. And so they did all the third party testing of our wines that we would filter. And so we know that of all the wines that we tested throughout the world, we looked at wines in South Africa, Chilean, Argentinian, of course, US, all over the US, whites and reds and rosés, Canada, Europe, even Australian wines, and we confirmed that our technology works for all those categories, including champagne and beer. So that was really important to us, is that we didn't want people to have to say, well, is it going to work for this one and not that one? And we needed to have something that made it simple, and it worked. Because initially, you'll appreciate this, this is another aha that Derek helped with this, is that we developed two products. We'd had one for white wines and one for red wines, and they worked great. And he said, but Dad, people need to have one product. It's going to be too complex for them to have to decide whether they're going to have it. Like you did, you gave your testimony. You started out with a white, then you moved to a Pinot Noir. So you want to have one product that's going to work for all of them. And that's what we took an extra 6 months to be able to do that, because it took some really complex blending for us to achieve that. But that's the products that we have on the market today.
I wonder the if this is a concern, that if your product works this well, I bet you do this as well, you wonder about the unintended consequences. And I sometimes wonder that the hangover is nature's way of saying that maybe you should not drink so much. And I always go back to my thoughts on antacids. You know, the antacid seems like a great idea. Your stomach doesn't like it when you have hot, spicy food. No worries, pop a couple antacids. But sometimes that's your body telling you maybe the hot wings aren't a good idea. Do you worry that the product will mean that people, because sometimes we drink less because we don't want to be hungover the next day. Well, this could allow you to drink more, which can sometimes have a negative medical impact.
Well, in the logic, I certainly understand that. That's why we have on our packaging, do not overconsume. But what you find, and this is a social commentary that we're going to go into, so we have to go a little bit delicate here, is that for people who have an issue of overconsumption and bordering on alcoholism, that's a big deal. And there's this social impact of that is huge. But what we find, and this is part of our social mission here, is that we find that people who start having issues with wine, they don't stop there. They usually go to beer or then to hard alcohol. These would be vodka drinkers and then the whiskey drinkers. And that's where you end up with the real issues. And I could give you some sightings in the medical literature about that, is that almost all aggression and violence is actually not wine associated, it's actually hard liquor associated. Alcoholism is almost all associated with hard liquor. And there was a pioneering study that came out in 2017 throughout all of Europe in 35 countries and 8 languages. They did a survey, and they actually broke down all of the major categories of alcoholic beverages into four categories. There's white wine, red wine, beer, and spirits. And they showed that not all alcohols are alike at all. In fact, 12 times more violence is associated with hard alcohol than with red wine. And red wine is the only alcoholic beverage that actually helps you live longer, and it causes a soothing and a calming effect that most of us have experienced from red wine. You don't get that from spirits. You get agitation and aggression from spirits.
The only thing I can think of is just the higher level of alcohol by volume. Would that play a part in that?
Not at all. That's what they did. They normalized that. And so I always give a little test to people. I'll take a glass of a 6-ounce pour of red wine, and I'll put it in a glass, and I'll put a 6-ounce pour of white wine next to it. And then I'll put a 12-ounce bottle of beer, and then I'll put a shot of vodka next to it. And I'll just ask them. It's a fun experiment to do. You might try this, Matt. Is you ask them, which has more alcohol in it? People hem and haw because they don't want to feel like they don't know the answer. But they always start saying, oh, it's the vodka. And I said, not at all. It's all one serving. They essentially, you know, there's a little variation depending on alcohol content and all that. And so they all have the same amount of ethanol in them. It's one serving. And the reason is the vodka has 40% and the wine has 12 to 14%. The beer usually has around 5%. So it's all based on industry standards. You have one pour, one serving of that size. And so then I ask them, which one of those causes your side effects? And they say, oh, it's always the red wine. And so you say, okay, it isn't. It depends on the type of alcohol. And that's what happens is that people will go from red wine to a white wine. That's why I think a lot of middle-aged women move to a white wine because it doesn't have the histamines in it. But then a lot of them start developing intolerances to some of the Chardonnays and some of the more elegant white wines. And then they'll move to vodkas or mixed drinks, or they just stop drinking alcohol altogether with that. And we hear that over and over and over again, that sort of pattern. And for us, we think that's a bad thing for society. We want people to stay in red wine. It's a healthier lifestyle. It helps with the soothing and sedating kind of feel that you have, and it's less prone to aggression and abuse. Personally, that's my view on that, and that's what Pure Wine is all about, is trying to enable people to stay in their passion with wine and not have to move to other alcoholic beverages.
So you started the company 6 years ago. Where would you like to see you guys in 6 years from now?
Well, we started 6 years ago. It took us a couple of years to get the technology figured out and get our patents and figure out the manufacturing with that. So we only launched our first product, about a little over 3 years ago. And then we launched our second product 18 months ago. This summer, we're going to be launching our third product, which is the disposable cartridge version of that whole bottle filter. So you'll have a very elegant housing that you put on top of your bottle, and you'll have a little disposable Keurig cartridge kind of thing. So you just pop it open, put the cartridge in there. And so it gets, to be honest, that one that you were describing, we'll call it our beta, because we had to really struggle to get the engineering and the cost and the manufacturing and all that sorted out. So that was our beta model. This new one that you're going to see coming out this year, it's going to be dynamite. We're really excited with what this is doing. And so you're going to be able to take your costs from about $10 for the other one to $3. That's our target for this, for a cartridge. You're going to be able to filter your entire bottle for $3 with that. So that's our next phase. And then what we also have is we have built into our technologies, Matt, we haven't even talked about that, is the Phoenix technology, because that was the other thing that we discovered, is that our technology actually removes the oxidized components out of wine. So if you've left a wine, particularly, let's say you have a library wine that's really got that musty sort of barnyardy kind of taste that you kind of pretend you like at times, is that we found that this removes that sort of musty, and also the brown color that you have out of a 30-year-old wine, to where it makes it almost, they call that the brunescent color. It removes that brown color and removes the stink that I call it. I don't like that kind of library, the old musty library wine. Some people like that, and so to each their own. But you can bring wines back to almost their true, pure, that's why we call it pure wine taste, even though a 30 or 40 year old wine has aged. And we do that for those people also who keep the bottle and don't realize that they've had it open for 2 or 3 weeks and it's gone difficult to drink. So we're able to remove those bitter notes out. And it's not, people say, oh, it's turned to vinegar. It hasn't gone to vinegar at all. It's just oxidized components in the wine. So if you use the wand or the wave, you can, that's why we call it the Phoenix technology. You essentially resurrect out of the ashes the wine. So that's a really fantastic attribute of our product that people also like to hear about also.
That is interesting. I had someone brought over a really old bottle of Chateau Neuf de Pape, and it was gone. Like, it had turned. There was no fruit left on it. It was, just musty and almost tasted more like port than it did like red wine. I have some skepticism. That this product could bring something like that back to life.
I'll give you a real quick story. Is that one of our key investors, he's been collecting Opus One since literally the first year. He's from Napa area, and he has a very expensive collection of it. And he was moving about 10 years ago. He and his wife, they got their big collection of Opus One, put it into the trunk of their car, and it was wife's car, and moved to the next house. And it was about 3 months later. And as you can imagine, we're in Dallas-Fort Worth. It was in July, yeah. August. And he asked his wife, well, where's our Opus One? He said, oh, it's still out in the car. And he said, you've got to be kidding. It's been in the car for 3 months at 150 degrees during the, because it was outside. So they still have that wine because he likes the bottles. He says he collects it. And so he brought one to our office about a year ago, and it was incredible. I mean, it was one of those where the cork had completely destroyed. We couldn't get it out, so we ended up having to just push it in. It was one of those. It was that old and dilapidated. You probably have experienced that. And it wasn't 100%, Matt, but that wine was destroyed. I kid you not. It was destroyed, and we were able to bring that back. We said around 90%. It was drinkable, and so he went on a trip. This is a funny story. Is that he went on a trip and he'd opened a bottle of that with his wife before he went, and they each had a glass. And when he came back from the trip, he said, well, let's finish that bottle. He said, oh, and his wife came back and said, well, I've already drunk it all. So, so
by the way, the idea of a bottle of wine left open for a week will never happen on this at this end of things.
Well, that's a good problem to have. But for those people, particularly people who are light drinkers or they just live alone, is that that's they like to hear that, because there's a lot of people who throw that away. And certainly on premise, that's been something the on premise community has asked us about, because anyone who's worked on premise knows there's a ton of wine that gets thrown away because it goes bad. This would be a way of resurrecting and being able to sell wine rather than flushing it down the sink.
Yeah, that would be good for restaurants, because you are going to find that, especially the by the glass stuff. You come at the wrong timing. There's a bottle that's been there for 4 or 5 days and it has gone off.
Yep.
Dr. David Meadows, really appreciate you doing the pod. And again, for people listening, I used the product. I used the wand. Again, it was a high alcohol Pinot Noir. I, in the name of science in this podcast, elected to consume over the course of the night about 26, 27 ounces of wine. And the flavor was the same. I did a test where, again, I took a little without using it and then tasted two different glasses, one with the product, one without it. The quality was the same. And the next day I felt... I felt good, didn't feel any of the side effects. So for me, it did work. And everyone, give it a shot and come up with your own conclusion. But David, really appreciate you doing the pod and continued success.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. And I think we ought to at least tell people where they can get the product.
I was going to say the website.
We get it to, well, actually, we're in over 4,000 locations, Matt. We're in all Total Wines. We're in BevMo, of course. We're in Albertsons. Home Goods, Bed Bath & Beyond. And you can go onto our website and you can get all the different retail locations. We're, of course, on Amazon. We're one of the top retail products in our category in Amazon. We're in the top 100 out of 15 million SKUs on Amazon. And, of course, the best deals are on drinkpurewine.com. We have several promotions for folks, and we give you, through our blogs, a lot of information about the product. So if you'd like to find out more, you can send us your email, and we'll send you promotions and stuff like that. So anyway, it's been a delight talking with you, Matt, but I thought people at least know where to find the product.
Absolutely. Drinkpurewine.com, the website. But of course, like everyone now, Jeff Bezos basically runs the world. You can find all your products on Amazon.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you so much. By the way, before we go, how are you doing? I mean, just right now, we are in the middle of the coronavirus. How are you and your family?
We're doing really well. We've been in a fortunate situation to where we are a U.S. company only. All of our manufacturing's here in the U.S. We had early on when this thing started unfolding, we quickly put in a lot of orders for our raw materials and had our production well in hand. So fortunately, we positioned ourselves to be able to come through this pretty well. We have no retail sales because there's no retail traffic in these stores much. But what we have found is that the e-commerce has just exploded for us because people are still, as you know, drinking a lot of wine. They're home a lot. And so the demand for our product has been huge. Over the last couple of months.
I imagine it has been. I've said it on this pod that because you're home more, you're not driving, you're not going anywhere. And sometimes we talk about the soothing impact of wine when you're stressed out. You know, it's something you're just going to turn to probably a little bit more now than you would have 4 months ago.
Absolutely. And that's why the Cleveland Clinic does it. They find that the type, and this is in their health and wellness clinics, is that they find that wine is a good calming influence, and that's the red wines, and that's what I said earlier, is that that's the benefit of red wine. It's natural ingredients help calm and soothe people, and so they find it as a non-medicative way to help people cope with the stresses and strains of these last few weeks. So that they actually are prescribing, I hate to say it, but they're prescribing wine consumption to a lot of their patients at these clinics.
Dr. David Meadows, thank you so much for joining the pod. All the best to you. Stay safe. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a delight. Thank you, Matt. And I'm always glad to hear about another satisfied customer. So that's terrific.
Absolutely. Hey, everyone, thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.